The reading is written in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16, and is to be found on page 1175 in the Church Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Peter. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you that they're your words for us today. And we pray that by your Spirit, you would help us to hear from you and to respond obediently to each one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as Sue touched on, this is our middle of our sort of series in September about what we're calling basics, basic things that God expects followers of Jesus to do, because when we do them, they help us grow and mature spiritually. What do I mean by growing spiritually? Basically, to be more like Jesus, to be more like the one we follow if we are a Christian. And last couple of weeks, we've been looking at reading the Bible and prayer. Next couple of weeks, we'll be looking at serving and giving. And there are some examples of these basics. They're good habits, habits that show our devotion to Jesus because we want to know him better, because we want to be more like him. We want to be able to show other people in our lifestyles that we love and follow Jesus so he gets the glory. We do these things, these basic things, not for, you know, not for any recognition, you know, oh, I read my Bible 6 hours a day, or, you know, for our own self-satisfaction. We do because we want to be. We want to be like Jesus. We want to be spiritually mature, holy, godly. Those type of words all mean the same thing. And we called them basics in this series just to remind us and to emphasize that, you know, they're not complicated. And they're not for sort of special, super spiritual people. They are essentials for every one of us as we follow Jesus. And as Tony explained last week, as she was talking about prayer, sometimes we do these basics on our own, sometimes we do them together. And it's this togetherness aspect that Paul, the writer of the letter that we've been looking at today, this is what he's talking about as he writes this letter to this Christian church in a place called Ephesus, to the people who have the letter read to them later through the centuries, and to us here at St. Patrick's in Wallington today. And two of the big themes which that are in Paul's letter are unity and maturity. Unity, a chosen people of God, living for him as one, and maturity, growing spiritually, as I've just been saying. And that's what these verses 1 to 16 that Pete read to us talk about. But just before we dig into the passage completely, let's just confirm one word that goes through, that Paul mentions four times, the word body. And he says it in verse 4, 12, 15 and 16. And just so we all understand the same thing. Body here is one of several different words that we use in the Bible, particularly the New Testament, the second half of the Bible, to describe Christians together. Sometimes we say God's family, sometimes we say church. But here, Paul uses the metaphor of a body, the body of Christ, because it helps emphasize the points that he's about to make about contributing our individuality, yet being one together. So the church at St. Pat's is the body of Christ in this place. So Paul, who tells us he's a prisoner, he's in chains under house arrest, he starts in verse 1 by urging us to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And the first thing to just emphasise is that word you that's in that verse and throughout is a plural word. We don't really pick it out, obviously, in English, but it's a plural word. Paul's writing to all believers that make up each local church. So his words apply to you and me today, but in the context of us together, striving at St. Patrick's to live a life worthy of the calling that we have received. What's that calling? Well, the calling is to be followers of Jesus and witnesses for Jesus. And what's a life worthy of following Jesus? Well, it's a whole lot of things, but essentially worshipping God together, showing Jesus' love to others together, telling others how amazing Jesus is, being more like Jesus together as one body, the body of Jesus Christ. It means doing those basics that we've been looking at because we want to be like Jesus. It means, as our vision at St. Patrick says, making Jesus known in everything we do. So that we, as a local church here, we see growth. We see growth in numbers that believe and follow Jesus. But also, and just as important, growth in our individual, whether we've been a Christian all our lives or not, or we're not a Christian yet, and what we will be. Growth mature to become more like Jesus. So that as a body, as a church here, we honour and glorify Jesus. So I'm going to go through the passage under three broad headings today. Being together, working together, and growing together. So let's look at verses 2 to 6 under this first heading of being together. And in verse 2, Paul says, our being together, living a life worthy together, is relational. If we don't know and love each other, if our contact with each other is just superficial, we won't grow as a church. I said there's a number of basic things that we do to grow as Christians, as the body of Christ. And actually, although we're wearing them, wearing name labels is not one of those basics, to be honest, not in the Bible, but it's a great thing to do, and I'm really glad that we're doing it today. Because, as Sue touched on, you know, it's a practical, helpful way to start a conversation with someone that we don't know, or to rekindle a conversation with somebody's name that we've forgotten and we're trying to avoid them. I do that sometimes. I'm terrible with names. We do get so embarrassed about it, though, sometimes, don't we? We should just go up to someone and say, sorry, forgotten your name. I know I've known you for 10 years, but please remind me, you know, let's get over it. Anyway, the name labels are great for that, but they're also a helpful way to remind us that we are relational, because being relational starts with knowing each other's names. But Paul here, in verse 2, he goes a lot further than just us knowing each other's name. He expects us, in fact, he commands us in verse 2, as to how we should relate to each other. He says, be humble and gentle and loving and patient. In fact, he says completely. I love it when Peter read that very clearly. Completely humble, gentle, patient and loving. And if we were to read other letters in the New Testament, we'd see lots of other characteristics of relational behaviour that we're called to do as Christians. But we're just going to quickly look at these ones that he mentions. He says, be humble. I like the word otherly, you know, other-centred rather than being self-centred. And I think, you know, for us as individuals, as part of a church, sometimes that's about restraining our preferences for certain things, you know, our sense of entitlement to certain things and helping others to contribute and to grow and that sort of thing. You know, if we come to church primarily for what we can get out of it, we're missing the point, basically. We come to God to worship, come to church to worship God wholeheartedly, but to encourage each other to worship God and to grow and to give and take in love as we do that. I find there's a phrase by C.S. Lewis, you may have heard this, it's quite well known in his book, Mere Christianity, where he talks about humility, saying that it's not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. So humble, be gentle, he says as well. Gentle in action, treating each other with compassion and kindness. Not roughly, not judgmentally, not critically, as we talk to each other in church. Remember a few weeks ago we learned that verse? Chapter 4, verse 32 of Ephesians. I wonder if anybody remembers it. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Gentle in action and then gentle in words as well. And you know, we do need to avoid gossip and we do need to avoid criticism, particularly about people behind their backs. It's sad when we see that in the church. You know, it's quite likely that we don't know the full circumstances when we do those sort of things, and it's quite likely that we don't need to know the full circumstances. Use encouraging words to each other, face to face. Be gentle in action and words. And then patience, you know, whatever the real or perceived faults and weaknesses in others that frustrate us, we need to recognise that we are all different. We all do things differently. We need to bear with one another in love, recognising that we are all different and that as we grow in our individual maturity, that looks different in each one of us. It looks different in me as it does in Sue, as it does in Matt. We're all different. We need to be loving and patient with each other. Of course, you know, we can't be naive that, you know, we will be relationally closer to some people. We're naturally drawn maybe to someone of our own age, you know, or someone who follows cricket or, you know, who likes cooking or whatever it happens to be. But what Paul makes clear here to all of us is that we need to be shine all those characteristics to each of us. All of us, shine it to all of us. Loving each other as a loving response to that amazing love that God has shown to us in his precious son Jesus. We do this so no one's left out. We do this so that we pull together. We do it so that we grow together, making all the bits of this body of Christ here in St. Patrick's Wallington glorious to the Lord Jesus. If you're a person who finds it hard to love people, or there's someone particularly you find hard to be gentle and patient with, ask Jesus, ask God to help you love that person. But also recognise that part of the answer to that prayer may be that you just need to get on and do it as well. So being together, living a life worthy of our calling, is relational. But Paul says that being together should also be visible. This is verse 3. He says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Visible unity. Now verses 3 to 6 are quite dense, but Paul is essentially saying that living a life worthy of our calling should be a visible sign of the truth that the Holy Spirit joins us together as a congregation of Christians, a unity that reflects the oneness and the unity of God. So as Christians here at St. Pat's, we are one together, the body of Jesus. That's indisputable. That is biblical. That is reality. And these four verses that Paul uses, in these verses 3 to 6, Paul uses one. He uses it seven times, if you read it there. Seven times to ram home this point. Yes, we're different. Yes, we're all, you know, we do things differently. We are like different parts of the human body, but all contributing to one body. We have different characteristics and so on. We may not understand everything about the Bible exactly the same, but we teach and we hear and we learn about the same God. We worship the same God, the same Lord Jesus. We're all joined as Christians by one Holy Spirit. We have the same faith in Jesus' death and resurrection. We have the same hope of eternal life. We're all baptized as Christians into God's family. Another way of saying the same thing would be to say that, you know, we're one body because there's only one Holy Spirit. We have the same hope, faith, and baptism because there is only one Lord Jesus. We're one family because there is only one God and Father of all, as Paul writes. As Christians at St. Patrick's, you know, it's a true, if invisible, reality that we are one in Jesus. But because we get things wrong, because we're not always gentle and compassionate and patient and so on, sometimes as a body we visibly contradict the invisible truth, if you like. So what Paul says to us, putting these two aspects together, he says he calls us to be together relationally, humble, gentle, patient, loving, and all those other things, so that we might demonstrate the invisible truth visibly. We live a life worthy of the calling we've received by being together relationally and visibly. So that's the first one. The other two are shorter if you're concerned about time. But secondly, working together is the next heading under verses 7 to 12. Live a life worthy of our calling by working together. Now, I'm not going to spend very long on this because over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at serving and giving. But the basic point here that Paul's making is that if St. Patrick's, the body of Christ in this place, if it's going to live a life worthy of the calling that we've received, then in addition to being together relationally and visibly, we need to be working together. We need to be contributing to the work of making Jesus known in everything we do. Verse 7 says that to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. The word grace here can also mean gift. It's the same word in Greek. And so this is basically saying that as Christians, Jesus decides to give us a gift or gifts to use for him. All Christians receive the gift of grace, what we might call the saving grace, that undeserved love of God, that gift of salvation when we were rescued to be with him forever. But Jesus also, it says here, gives us particular gifts to equip us to do the work in the power of his Holy Spirit. Now, verses 8 to 11, you know, they're not immediately straightforward. Paul refers back to a part of the Old Testament, a song that they used to sing in worship called a psalm, Psalm 68. But essentially what Paul's doing here is contrasting the victorious kings of history when they sort of gathered the spoils of war and then handed them out to his people. The king would hand them out to his people. Contrasting that of history with Jesus, the ultimate king, victorious over death and sin and evil, now ruling in heaven over all of the cosmos, who gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit and gives us the gifts for us to use, practical gifts to build each other up, to work, to grow at St. Pat's. And he goes on in verses 11 and 12. Paul says that Jesus has also given people as gifts to his church. People that teach the truth so that each of us can be equipped and encouraged to use our particular gifts that Jesus has given us. At first, when Paul wrote that, at that time, that would have been the apostles, as he says, and sort of other leaders and so on. But then through history, that would be teachers and pastors of our, for us today, teachers and pastors of our children's and young people's groups, of our home groups, of people like me up here preaching, teaching from God's word. And also, in some way today, we are all gifts from Jesus to each other, working together to understand the truth of the Bible and helping each other to use our gifts to contribute our ministries together so that we enrich the life and the service of St. Pat's, so that as one body we are making Jesus known. We say we'll talk more about this over the next couple of weeks. So here at St. Pat's, we live a life worthy of the calling we've received by being together and working together. And then thirdly, being together and working together is so that, as Paul says at the end of verse 12, so that the body of Christ could be built up, which I've used as the third heading, growing together. This is verses 13 to 16. Let me just read verse 13 again. So the end of verse 12 says, so that the body of Christ may be built up. 13 says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Paul makes it clear here that for us as a body, individuals together, we keep on keeping on. Spiritual growth, you know, is a long-term commitment over years, decades, maybe centuries for St. Patrick's Church, until the time that Jesus returns. We won't attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ that Paul talks about until Jesus returns in glory. But what we do is we commit to growing and maturing while we wait for his return, because it gives glory to him. The way I think about this is a sort of circular thing and a linear thing in progression together. Our being together, if you like, a circle, our being together and our working together helps us to be more mature. And as we're more mature, it helps us to work together and be together and so on and round. And as we're going round in that circle of becoming more mature, working together and so on, we're making a way along that line of maturity, the fullness of maturity, towards the day when Jesus returns. And what this will mean, as Paul writes in verse 14, it says that together, as this body of Christ here at St. Patrick's, that we won't be like a baby church. We won't be like an immature child church, a sort of illustration he's saying. We won't be easily distracted. We won't be diverted. We won't be vulnerable to the storms and the deceits of life. By being together, by working together, by growing together, we continue to stay firm to the Bible, to God's word, not caving into the weight of culture. We wrestle with the hard questions about how the Bible truths, which are unchanging, how do we apply them with the challenges? How do we apply our ministries of St. Patrick's in the 21st century by holding firm to God's word? We live a life worthy of the calling we've received at St. Pat's by being together, working together, and growing together. Paul wrote this letter, as I say, to a church. There would have been Christians there. There would have been people who weren't yet Christians. And that's probably the same here as us here today. You might be here today and you're not a Christian. Well, my hope, our hope and prayer, is that you will come to know Jesus personally. But in the meantime, we love you being here. And we invite you to be part of being together, working together, and growing together. So as I finish, just some quick suggestions as how we might respond today. Being together? Well, don't go straight home. Why not come down and have a cup of tea? You know, talk to someone that you've not met before. Talk to someone who you've forgotten their name. Talk to someone in a little bit more detail, and maybe pray with them if that's appropriate. Come to the prayer breakfast on Saturday that Sue mentioned, 9 o'clock on Saturday. Come to the Fruits of the Earth Harvest Lunch on the 6th of October. Being together. Working together? Well, maybe that will be with the work party on Saturday, the 6th of October, before the Harvest Lunch. We can work together and then be together after. Help Ailish at the Light Night on the 31st of October. Maybe offer yourself before you're asked to help. Growing together? Commit to come into the next 2 weeks to hear how you might be able to serve and give to St. Patrick's, how you can contribute and where that might be. And then on the 7th of December, a long time away, I know, on the 7th of December, be part of the big group of us who are going to go to Wallington High Street again, 11 o'clock on that Saturday, and sing carols as we witness for Jesus together. Please put it in your calendar now. Please make it a priority. Try and put other things aside so that you can come and be part of us as St. Patrick's, witnessing for Jesus, making him known in Wallington High Street. I've put all those different things under those three different headings. But you know, all of those and everything else we do in making Jesus known in everything we do, they're all being together. They're all working together. They're all growing together as together we live a life worthy of the calling that we have received. Amen.